Okay, so recapping the mafkid. So the basic case is, if you you're a shomer chinam, so that means that you're guarding another guy's object. Okay, if I'm, let's say, dafa lamagilam base. Okay, so I'm guarding your object. Okay, let's just keep you vague. I'm guarding your object. I'm the shomer chinam. Okay, so now the halacha is that if it gets stolen, so I'm pater. I'm off the hook. I'm not responsible for theft. Okay, because I'm guarding it for free. I'm not getting anything, any wages. So if it gets stolen, so I'm pater. But the thing is if I'm negligent, however, then I'm chayev. Okay, negligence I'm chayev for. So the thing is that if I claim that it was stolen, so I have to prove it. I can't just say it was stolen. Maybe I was negligent and I'm just trying to lie and say that it was stolen. So the way I prove it is I swear. Okay, you have to make a shvua. And if I make a shvua that it was stolen, so then I'm off the hook, then I'm pater. But let's say I don't want to swear. I don't like to swear. Swearing is shame Hashem. I don't like that idea, and it doesn't necessarily mean I'm guilty. I have a certain carefulness about saying shame Hashem and about swearing, and I decide I don't want to swear. So the halacha is then you're chayev. You have to pay. Because then basically you can't prove that you are negligent. So we're going to assume that you're negligent and you have to pay. So that's fine. That is the legitimate method. That basically you swear. I'm sorry, you say, I'm not going to swear. Instead of swearing, I'm just going to pay the money. So that's fine. I could do that. Okay? So now, fine. Is everyone with me so far? Okay, so now the question is like this. Is that in general, if someone steals, if a thief steals something, then he gets caught. So the thief has to pay kefel, double. Okay, he has to pay double. If it was an animal and he steals it and then he slaughters it or sells it, then he has to pay dollar v'hei, five times the amount the thing is worth. Fine. So now the question is, so let's say, again, I'm guarding your object and I say it was stolen. And I say, listen, but I don't want to swear. So I'm chayef to pay you the $100 for the object. Fine. Now let's say what turns out is that in the interim, the thief is found. I pay you the $100, and then the thief is found. The thief is caught. So now he's going to have to pay kefal. So the question is, who does he pay kefal to? Who does he pay kefal to? Does he pay kefal to the owner from whom it was stolen? Or does he pay kefal to me, the guarder, the guy who's guarding it? So on the surface, you'd say that he pays to the guy who owns it. Okay, because that's the halacha, is that when you steal from someone, your recompense is double. And who owned it when he stole it? The original owner. So who cares that I, in the meantime, I decided to pay up, and what does that have anything to do with it? Okay? So why should I get the kefal? But the Mishnah says that I do get the kefal. Okay, I get the kefal. I, the showman, I get the kefal. And the problem is that why do I get the kefal? The kefal is a right which goes to the person who was stolen from. So the simplest way to explain it, which is going to be a problem, is that when I gave you the $100, so that's ipso facto I'm purchasing the any rights, any zchusim, potential future kefal which will emerge. Okay, for whatever reason, that's what would be happening. For some reason, when I give you the $100, not only am I, dispensing of my obligation not to return the object or whatever, but I'm also acquiring any potential kefal. The problem with that is that I'd be in a sense buying kefal, which doesn't yet exist, because kefal is something which will come about in the future. But as of now, there is no kefal. There's no kefal. It doesn't exist. It's a potential, and as halacha is, you can't buy something which is lo ba'al olam, which doesn't yet exist. Okay, it doesn't work. You can't buy something which doesn't exist, which will exist in the future. There's no futures. We don't have life. There's no halacha of futures. So you can't buy something which doesn't exist yet. Okay, it's not a subject to kinyan. Okay, so the problem is, how could you say that I'm buying the kefal which doesn't exist? It doesn't exist yet, so I simply can't buy it. So therefore, the kefal, when it exists, it naturally goes to the owner. The owner at the time was stolen, and the owner was the original guy. The owner was the original guy, so the question is still, why does the shomer get the kefal? That's the problem. Okay, so Rava says, Rava answers the question that basically, I mean, it's a funny move, okay? I'm not here to come up with it, but he says that it's as if, okay, the Rabbanon assert that it's as if, okay, here's how it goes. It's as if when you gave me the cow, let's say, it turns out it's like we stipulated the following. Okay? It's as if when you gave me the cow to watch, we stipulated the following. That if the thing gets stolen, and I don't want to swear, because I don't like swearing, I don't want to swear, and then it turns out that given that I don't want to swear, I have to pay you the $100, it will turn out that retroactively, if that happens, retroactively, your giving it to me was actually like a sale to me, and that $100 is your wages. So it turns out retroactively, I owned it. From the time that you gave me the cow on day one, it was mine. Okay, and therefore, since it was mine, when it was stolen, so it was stolen from me, so I get the kefil. So again, it's when you're giving it to me really just as a shomer. You're not selling it to me, you're just giving it to me to watch. But it's stipulated that if this sequence of events takes place, then the giving is really a giving of a sale, and the $100 which I give you is the wages, you know, the money for the sale. And then it turns out that it was mine all the way from the beginning.
You get the para.
What? So on the surface, you'd get the para. I mean, we're going to come into that. The shomer would get it. The shomer would get it. At this stage of the game, the shomer would get it.
He'd get everything,
right? But the $100, he already paid the $100, so the guy gets back his money. But it's like basically what the shomer is gaining is the kefil. I mean, the original $100 is not gaining. Question. There's no difference. The difference is that a shomer, if this whole thing doesn't end up happening. Oh, no. So the difference between selling and guarding is I'm accepting it to guard it. It's just if this funny whole sequence of events takes place, then it turns out retroactively it was a sale. But it's not straight away a sale. It's like almost when you give me the object to guard, what is it? It depends. If it turns out then nothing funny happens, then it was just guarding it. But if it ends up I say it was stolen and I don't want to swear, then it turns out that it was really a sale. Okay, and therefore I get the kefil. It's funny, how do you just say it's as if they said this? Isn't this a whole big funny story? I mean, why is it as if they said this? Why not just do it straight? Why should halacha be this way?
Yeah, Rabbi.
So Rashi fills in a little bit. So the big question though is why? How did this become the halacha? Is this like a funny type of a thing to put onto as if they said this? No doubt it would work. I mean, you could say whatever you want in Mamo and the Kol Davar Shomer Tanur Kayim. You could stipulate any terms and any conditions you want in financial matters.
Except for you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, whatever. But you can't. But the thing is, but to say that this is what every guy who watches another guy's object, this is the implicit terms. I mean, really? I never knew that, right? So it's funny. So why did the Chazal do that? So Rashi explains a little bit. He says the Kimlo L'Rabbanan. This is in the third line on Lamed Aleph and Aleph in Rashi. He says the Kimlo L'Rabbanan, the Nichalu L'Baylam Shei Betuach B'Karam. It's the Rabbanan established that it is good for the owners, for the owner, to be certain, to be insured, so to speak, to be to have security about his karen. Karen is the object itself, the value of the $100 itself. Al menas sheyehe safek kefel ha'asid lavo shel shomer, on the condition that the potential the maybe kefel will go to the shomer. I'll give the shomer the maybe kefel, which may come about, on the condition that I get a security of my $100. Okay. This is what we all understand. It still sounds a little far-fetched, right? I mean, can we explain, what's the deal here? The Rabbanan are establishing that this is what he wants. I mean, how exactly is this thing working? I mean, why is this? I mean, for instance, he wants that. I mean, does the other guy want that also? I mean, is this beneficial for both parties? Is this beneficial for one? I mean, very nice, you want that, but does he want that? Or, I mean, what's going on here? I mean, could we explain this a little bit? So why is it good for the original owner? So the original owner, basically, I mean, why don't you tell me? I mean, let's see. So can we figure out? Let's try to figure it out. I mean, he's talking a little bit, but can we figure out? Rashi, I think also what we have to do is just like flesh it out a little bit. Okay, so here's the deal. Maybe like this. So maybe just to pull things together here.
So the deal is that the simple sense of this thing is that you have to get ourselves into the minds of the owner. Okay, the owner, an owner gives his thing to be watched. So his main thing is he's basically, he wants protection. I mean, you can imagine anyone who gives his object to be guarded, to someone to guard for him, is in a vulnerable situation. Is that he may lose his principle, he may lose his object. So his main consideration is basically to be insured. Right? It's like an insurance. He wants his karen. He's not looking to profit on this thing. Right? That's not the idea. I mean, it's true. Look, Kefel, if it turns out it's stolen and they catch the thief, then yeah, he'll get Kefel. But a guy's not looking. I mean, if your objects, you're not looking to make Kefel on your objects. You're looking to have to keep your objects. I mean, a guy, he's the owner, he has his animal, he has his thing, and he's not involved in business now, he's involved in, so he needs someone to watch his object, so he gives it to his friend or whatever to watch his object. So his thing is, he wants to be batuach b'karen. Because the psychology of the owner is that he wants to be batuach b'karen. He wants a guarantee. He wants to be sure that he's going to end up getting his karen back. And in doing so, he's willing to so to speak, to try. He doesn't want the guy to swear. He doesn't want the guy to swear and to walk away. And then maybe he'll get KFL? Well, yeah, maybe. But, I mean, that's not what he wants. I mean, it's not what a guy who gives up his object is looking for. A guy who's looking at his object is looking for security, for his object. So he's very happy if the guy gives him his $100 and walks. So and he's willing...
incentive to swear, is that the
point? Yeah, and he's willing to give the guy the potential KFL, because he knows the guy could just swear and walk. So he's willing to give up the potential KFL, which the other guy may get, in order to induce the guy to swear.
Because it's a good...
In order to induce him to pay up. Exactly, in order to pay up, and he'll give up the potential KFL. You know, and the other guy, so first of all, like David mentioned, if he wants, he could swear. If he wants to swear. But if he doesn't want to swear, he's also... I mean, for him, he's not in the situation that he's looking for the security. For him, it's not his object. For him, here, hey, he gets a potential KFL. So that's...
he's weird. I mean, he's taking a definite loss for the possible.
That's
gain.
True for doubling your money, for doubling his money.
Yeah,
and it could be. It could be. First of all, he could swear.
Why? Because he gets Karen and KFL. You know?
Well, no, he'll get KFL. I mean, he'll invest it. I mean,
but that's not doubling his money.
If he feels it's a good gamble, then
he'll get Karen. No, he'll get Karen and the KFL. I mean, he'll get back the object. I mean, he's just gonna get the KFL. He's giving $100, and if they find the guy, he's gonna either get his $100 back or get the Karen back, and he's gonna get the KFL.
So
he's gonna get double. Yeah, he'll double his money. So for him, it's a double your money. So I don't know what the odds are. But look, if he doesn't like the odds, he has the ability. He could just swear. But if he doesn't want to swear, then look, he's obligated to pay. Look, he has to pay anyways. The Raisa, he has to pay anyways. If he doesn't want to swear, then he's gonna have to pay. He can't just get off the hook and say, sorry, I'm just gonna walk with nothing. He doesn't have that option. He has to swear. So now what we're just saying is, listen, if you don't swear, like, and I guess the Chazal are happy anyways because we don't want the guy to swear. So if you don't swear, you know, the owner will be very happy. He'll get his security. You get a potential of KFL, and you don't have to swear. So in other words, it's basically a situation which is good all around. Okay, and basically the thing is that what Chazal did is that they assessed. See, I don't know if it means that every guy would necessarily be thinking this. But I think this is the way, in general, these halachas work by shomrim. I think it's the way, exactly. The way it works by the raisos of shomrim, and I think the rabbanon are building on that, is that they evaluate what is really the best, a fair and good das for everybody, and that becomes halacha. Now, it doesn't mean every single guy is necessarily thinking that. It's not dependent upon the guy necessarily thinking that. But if you present this to the people, to fair people, and they're fair people looking out for their own best interest and not to cheat the other guy, and just a good assessment of the psychology all around, this is really the best das. This is the best deal. Okay, it covers everybody. And that's what is Chazal set up as the halacha. And I think, when I one time a few years ago, I did the sigils of Shomrim. Shomer Chinam, why Shomer Chinam is chai, is pata, you know, is chayev if he's negligent, but he's pata for Gneva and Aveda, and all the different things. I mean, because you can make whatever terms you want. If you stipulate terms, you could change all that stuff. But the stam terms, without any stipulations, it's like the Torah is defining what is like this, the fair, good, you know, the right das for on all parties. And if you don't stipulate anything, then this is the Torah is defined. This is the right. This is the what's yasher, what's straight on all sides around. And this Chazal
are stepping in. I mean, this isn't in the, I don't think this is it's not explicit in Torah. This is assuming a guy doesn't want to swear. I mean, the Dreis says you swear. But the saying is, if a guy doesn't want to swear, then this is what Chazal are assessing what the Stam Das is going to be. Yeah. So I guess what Chazal is setting up is that they're objectifying it, that if you don't, this is the halacha, I mean, this is the Mishnah. So if you don't have any das, and this is the stam das halachically, and this is the default. This becomes the default. This is what's good for everybody. And look, it may not be you weren't thinking about it, but it is good for you. And this is the das which is good for all parties. And this is the halacha, unless that's the kind of, I guess it's kinder rabbanan, that this is a side, the rabbanan says this is the assumed das of everybody, and this is the default das. And unless you have to the contrary, this is the halacha. It's a good question. Are they just saying that they're just saying it's, by the way, this is what everyone is thinking? They're not actually thinking, but if you push them, this is really what they want. But let's just say if there's a gila milso to the contrary, then all bets would be off. There's something which should show they're not interested. Or are they like halachically saying this is defined as the das? You know what I mean? And they're like forcing it on you unless you then you'd have to stipulate otherwise, you know? Like, are they just assessing a person's das, and it's like a person's unconscious das, but this is really what a person wants, and then, you know, or are they declaring that this is his das, and if you wanted to change it, then you'd have to, you know, they're halachically, like, defining it, or are they just assessing that this is what's here? And I guess the nafkin would be, the difference would be if you could, if there's something which indicated that he wasn't thinking that, but he didn't state anything. If they declared it, then you'd have to state it. But if, you have to state to the contrary. But if it's just an assessment, well, now we have a contraindication. So then, I don't know, it's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. But, I mean, Rashi sounds like Kimlu L'Rabbanan. It sounds like they're assessing, they're establishing. This is Gnichalu, it's good for them. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like this is just assumed das. I mean, people don't necessarily think everything through, but this is their assumed das. And therefore, this is the halachic, this is what turns out. I mean, we could assume that. They don't necessarily say it, but there are certain, a person is always assuming, stam das is, he's interested in his best interest. So everyone says, this is in his best interest. So therefore, unless you have indication that it's the contrary, I mean, it seemed to be that they're not actually, I'm not sure, but it would seem from the simplest Lashon Rashi, it's not defining it halachically, they're saying it really is. Really is his das. It's good for him. So did I state it? No, but of course I'm very happy. That's the, you know, the halacha is not defined. It's not das based upon what's good for everybody. Even if they don't think about it, he may not be a big, you know, a big financial guy. But I mean, that's your, everyone wants your best interest. And the Chazal is saying this is your best interest, and stam das is that you want your best interest. What were you thinking? Whatever's best for me. That's what I was thinking. I don't know. I didn't think it through. But I mean, I want whatever's best for me, and that's everyone's stam das, what's best for you. Chomer just assessing this is what's best for you. So therefore, this was your stam das. You didn't have das about particulars. You don't think about all these particulars. You don't even consider what's going to happen if, maybe. So your das is whatever's best for me. Now it turns out, this is what's best for you. So that's fine. That's the way it ends up. Right. I mean, it is true. It's a good point. Is that this has to be the das at the onset. Right? So you're saying this is the slam das at the onset. So it means at the onset, both parties would be happy with this. Right? So you can't just say later. I mean, so the shomer, the owner is going to be happy with it, because when he gets into a deal, I think it's true. When you give that object to someone else, you think, oh no, I hope this doesn't, I hope I don't lose my object. There's like an implicit das when you lend someone something or you give someone something. I hope I get it back, you know? So there's like a fear and a need, a desire for security. So he's certainly, at that time, his main thought is I'm going to do what it takes to get this back. And his das is, he's going to, his terms, he's happy with any terms that are going to make sure he gets the object back. The other guy, if you'd ask him, he certainly would be happy with it, because first of all, he has an option to swear. And if he doesn't, then he could always, if he doesn't swear, then he's potential for double. Making double, so then you're not forcing it on him. I mean, he is. If it really is stolen, and he knows it was stolen by a guy who he's certain is never going to get it back from, then he'll just swear. You know, so there's benefits to him as well. So what does he lose? I mean, he really doesn't lose anything. Rashi could, he doesn't have to explain anything, because what does he lose? I mean, if he didn't say this, then the guy would basically either swear or he'd lose his money. So he's just getting. I mean, he's getting kefa. What's he, you know? But he's fine with it, though. I mean, he's fine with it. But at the end of the day, what's going to happen is, more often than not, the shomer, it's a good chance that or certainly there's going to be more incentive for the shomer to not swear. If the shomer knew that if he, and this is a good way to look at it, if the shomer knew that if he doesn't want to swear, that's it. He's just flushing his money down the toilet. He's losing $100. Then he'd be of a strong incentive to swear. And the Baal doesn't want that. The Baal doesn't want him to swear. He doesn't want to have to lose his money and have to wait around for the maybe kefal coming around. He doesn't want to. But the shomer in general may not want to swear, but he's not going to do it. He may not do it if he's losing, if it's an absolute loss. But now that it's a loss, but it's a potential for a gain, so we'll say, look, I don't swear, and it's an investment. I'll invest $100 in the potential for $200. So that's, there's an incentive for him, and this way he also doesn't have to swear. So, I mean, would a guy invest $100 for $200? Some guys would, some guys wouldn't. Now, add another factor into the equation. Oh, yeah, you have to swear, but if you invest $100 for $200, you don't have to swear. That's already getting more and more, you know. So it's going to end up that you're going to have less swears, you know, and the Baal is happy, because, again, the Baal's main concern is he's willing to give up the kefal. I mean, he's happy, you know. He's happy to do that. Now, it would turn out, if you didn't do this, I mean, there is a loss on the part of the Baal, because if you didn't do this, if you didn't have this deal, then the Baal, it could be that the guy the shomer would say, I don't want to swear. He'd basically pay up the kefal, the karen, he'd pay up $100. And then if they catch the ganav, then the Baal would end up getting the kefal also. So the Baal is giving up that maybe kefal. But its saying is, that's what it's saying, the Chazal says that the psychology of the owner is he's looking for security. And he's willing to give up the maybe kefal for that security. Okay, he's in a situation where he's looking for security. He's vulnerable. He's in a vulnerable situation. He's giving up his object. So he's happy. That's his main concern, is to get his thing back. It's not 100% security, but it's a greater degree. It's raising the chances that he'll get his object back.
It's not dependent on it.
You know, he's getting the chances that he's greater chances that he'll get his object back, because now it's a good, better chances that the guy's not going to swear and he'll get his $100. So it's like an incentive. He's happy to give an incentive to the guy to not swear. Okay. She'd ask him at this point, what are you wishing? Are you hoping the guy will swear? Are you hoping he won't swear? You know, he's very happy to say, I don't want him to swear. I want my $100. You're going to have to give up. I'll give that up. That's fine. I'm willing to take that chance. But you're going to lose. He's losing a maybe. Look, it wasn't like he has this money coming to him anyways. I mean, he doesn't want that. He's not looking to make money. He's looking just to have his object. That's what he's doing. If he wouldn't give it up, he's not getting kefal. And there's no business of letting your object get stolen in order to get kefal. No one does that. That's not a business. You know, so you're just looking to keep your object. I'm kind of saying is that every guy's das. People don't always think things through. But when you say, what were you thinking? I'll say, I don't know. I wasn't thinking. I just gave my object. So how do you figure out what he was thinking then? So what, like, there are a lot of options here. What was he thinking? So we say, everyone's thinking that I want what's best for me. Right? I mean, everyone wants that. So you're saying, Chazal is saying this is what's best for everybody. So this is their stam das. This is what they're thinking. They don't have to think the particular. They think what is mutually beneficial for everybody, and that is what they're thinking. The Chazal are filling in the blank. What are we thinking? What's going to work out best for me? And Chazal are establishing what that is. So that is what happens. You don't have to think the particular. You're thinking, Chazal are saying, if there is something which is best for everybody, then that's their Stam Das. They don't have to, doesn't mean they were thinking that particular, but they were thinking, we want what's best for us, and this is what's best for us. So therefore, this is what they want. They're wanting, and this is the stam das. Unless you have indication that there's some sort of a problem or there's something which makes them different than the norm, but this is the standard of das. They're establishing that, and therefore, this becomes the halacha unless you indicate to the contrary. Okay, so now let's get like this. So now the Gemara wants to know. So let's go back to the beginning of the Gemara. So the Mishnah had two cases. It says the case is if you're shomer chinam on an animal or on kalim. Or on utensils. So why do you have to have two cases? Mishnah doesn't just write extra cases. Should have just said, I'm afkid if you give an object to your friend.
Is the 4 and 5, is that why?
No. Well, yeah, that's sort of why. So why do you have to say both? Pick one. Pick Behema. Pick Kalim. Say Chayfetz. I don't know, whatever. Like, why do you have to have two cases? Okay, and that the premise is that Mishnahis don't just put in extra words. Because, arguably, because Mishnahis were memorized. And the extra words make it harder to memorize, right? So you don't just put in extra words. They're not loose. The Mishnah, the premise is the Mishnah isn't just loose with words. I mean, maybe if it's Shakespeare, you put an extra word, it rhymes better or whatever. But that's not the way Chazal, it's not the way Yehuda Nasi wrote the Mishnah. It's not saying there's no such thing as anyone who writes that way. I mean, perhaps certain Rishonim or certain, I mean, it's nothing wrong about writing, in a long-handed manner. And certain people you'd read, you'd say, why is he repeating it? You'd say, I don't know, he's repeating it. But, I mean, that's not the way Yehuda Nasi wrote. And if there's an extra word, premises is it must be there's a reason. So the Gemara is going to say, why do you have to mention them both? So the Gemara says, Lamali Lamisne Behema, Lamali Lamisne Kalem. Why do you have to mention them both? Srichi. Okay? The Itana Behema, if it just had Behema, Havimina Behema Udemakni Le Kfela. I think that by an animal, you're going to give the guy the KFL. The Baal is going to give up the KFL. Mishan the Nafish Tircha, Liluya Lufuka. Because it's a big Tircha, it's a big bother, it's difficult. For a guy to watch an animal, you have to carry it and slap it up and slap it down. It's a whole big deal. It's a whole big tircha. So therefore, you're willing to give up the kefil to the guy. Ah, well, kelim elon nefeshachayu, but kelim, which are no big deal. It's no big deal for a guy to watch kelim. So em alom agnelik feila, so then he's not going to give him the kefil. Okay, and we have to explain why that's relevant. But, I mean, that's part of our job here. But it's kind of, I mean, the Rashbam maybe is filling in a little bit why.
I'm sure maybe he goes in more detail.
Goes a little bit more detail. It could be Rashbam explains. Okay, fine. I mean, you're saying it's like it's also because he puts it with his kelim. I mean, but animals, I guess, are living. You have to bring them up, you have to bring them down, you have to take them out to graze. You have to, it's not so simple. But, I mean, a clay, you have a cop, you just put in your cabinet, and that's it.
Yeah.
So the question is, though, why is that relevant vis-a-vis kefil? I mean, that's, you have to figure out. I mean, but whatever. But that's what he's saying. And so if that's the case, fine. So just write the case of an animal. I'm sorry, just write the case of Kalim. So carry Kalim, and you'll already know, because Kalim is the bigger Kaddish, that you even give it up by Kefil. So just write it, even though we got to give it up by Kalim. So just write it by Kalim, by utensils. So it says, no, if you eat on a Kalim, and if you only taught me Kalim, have a mean a Kalim who the Kamakin like Kefila. That's what a guy gives up the Kefil by Kalim. We shouldn't alone enough to fly you, because it's only double. Have a Behema, but by an animal, the Chitavach Umachar, Mashanta Shlomidal Vachamisha. But by an animal, if an animal is stolen and slaughtered or sold, then the thief has to pay four or five times, depending on what kind of animal. So that, I'd say, a guy's not willing to give that up. I mean, yeah, he's willing to give up kefil. But double, he's willing to give it up. But four or five times, I mean, the guy's not willing to give that much up. So the Mishnah teaches you, no, even four or five he's willing to give up. Okay, so the Mishnah has to teach you both. There's an advantage.
The
nafish keflayu means it's not so much. Nafish means a lot, and keflayu is their kefil.
Yeah, so
it's only double. So since it's only double, he's willing to give up. In order to be secure, he's willing to give the guy double.
Okay.
Potential for double, he'll give up. Potential for five times, he's not going to give up. Let's say, for instance, that you had to pay $1 million-fold the thing. I mean, it's very nice you want
right.
Security, but I mean, not going to give up $1 million. You have a lottery ticket, you know, whatever. I mean, yes, yeah, so you have to. So you're saying, yes, yeah. So I would think that, yeah, if you only told me kefil, a kli, you'd say, yeah, but not by an animal. That's already not so fast. And if you only told me an animal, you'd say, yeah, the only reason the guy's giving it up is because it's a big tircha for the guy to schlep around the animal, so therefore he's going to give it up, but by kli not, so the Mishnah has to teach you both. The only way you can learn it is to teach you both. So our job is to define the Amino Skana by both of these. Akle Rashi, the Magna Lake Fela, Bailam Magna Shomer Kefel Asid Lishtalim. Kadamala, come on. He's going to be Magna the future Kefel. Shibisha Shemasra Lashomer, Amanaske and Masra Shem Tigana Vitivi Yertsa Vishalim Yekefel Shalab. So basically, he's filling you in on Rava. That's why he asked that. You can't read the Rashi's talking about, you know what he's talking about. You have to look at Rava. That's why you jump to Rava. One second. Emar lo magnolik fail lo muscle mitchila manaskein. I'd say he didn't give him that on those conditions. He didn't give it to him on those conditions by the case of the animal in the case of the kalem because it's not a big tircha. And lo mishkeflay shein bon the avrachamisha shein on regas lo b'shavas ablevad because he only have a dal of the hay 4 or 5 by an animal. Okay, so that's the gemara. So again, we have to figure out what's avinu askana. These two avinu askanas.